This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Ashley, what was the main message this morning of the Holy Father's Wednesday audience in St. Peter's Square as he continued with his teachings on the value of old age?
Yes, indeed he did. And today, John, he reflected on the account of the healing of Simon's mother-in-law, the Apostle Simon's mother-in-law. Of course, we know and love him here also as St. Peter. And this is all from the Gospel of Mark. And he pointed out that we don't know what her illness was. We don't know if it was a mild illness. But the Holy Father went on to say that in old age, even a simple fever can be dangerous. He said that when you're old, you don't have command over your body. And so you have to learn to choose what to do, what not to do. And we see that Jesus sees the sick woman, he takes her by the hand and he heals her. And with this gesture of love, the Pope said, Jesus gives a first lesson to the disciples. And that lesson is that salvation is announced, or even better, it's communicated through attention to that sick person. And the woman's faith then shines in gratitude for the tenderness of God. And he noted that in old age, of course, the vigor of the body fails. But that doesn't mean that the heart ever stops yearning for God and yearning to serve. And so he urged the elderly to have patience in this and to continue to persevere, continue with that yearning to serve and to love God. And he noted too, another lesson from this scene of Jesus healing the mother-in-law of Simon, that Jesus didn't visit the woman alone, but instead he went there with the disciples. And so the Pope said that it's very important to build Christian community to visit the elderly. And he said that it should be done by many people together, and it should be done often. And he said, now more than ever, when the number of the elderly has increased, people in community should go visit the elderly. And it's really important, he said, to bring young and old people together, because the young can learn from the wisdom of the elderly. He said that a society that truly welcomes life is one that recognizes that life is also precious in old age, precious in disability, in serious illness, and even when it's fading. And he encouraged all of the faithful to start a prayer ministry, especially for the elderly. He said that in addition to feeling that responsibility to visit the elderly, he said to also present them to the Lord with prayer. And of course, this is all the more poignant, John, coming from the Holy Father, who is right now suffering with such terrible pain, his inflamed ligament in his knee. We've seen him at all of his events recently in a wheelchair. Of course, just canceled his trip in July from the 2nd to the 5th that was planned to South Sudan, and also canceled his presiding over Mass and procession for Corpus Christi tomorrow. So certainly these themes are running very, very close to the Holy Father's intellect and heart.
And the Holy Father knows firsthand about accepting one's physical limitations when you get older, because, as you said, not only has he been in a wheelchair lately, but he has also had to walk with a cane when he's out of the wheelchair.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. So, you know, I have a feeling that in a lot of ways, he really speaks to things that are on his mind and heart right now. And this emphasis that he gives on the gratitude for the gifts received from God for the elderly, asking all of the elderly that despite the feelings of helplessness, which he has referred to a lot, to continue to be grateful to the Lord and to continue in a spirit of service, to ask that question, how can I serve today?
And of course, the Holy Father, as he's been doing now for over 3 months, has continued to pray for peace in Ukraine, to remember those who are suffering in so many ways in that horrible war.
Yes, he did. In fact, this was his 56th appeal, public appeal for peace in Ukraine. He has asked everyone to remember, to pray, and to help these people who are suffering so much. He said they are carrying out a true martyrdom. In fact, in Sunday's Angelus, he spoke about the danger of getting used to war and just being accustomed to it and forgetting to pray. Instead, today he said that we should not forget the war-torn people of Ukraine and never get used to war as if it were something distant that didn't impact everyone. Instead, he urged all to let their memories, their affection, their prayers go out to the people of Ukraine who are suffering so much and carrying out that sense of martyrdom, John.
And we're talking about 7 million people that have left Ukraine mm-hmm. because of this war. So we have faith in the Holy Father's consecration of Ukraine and Russia back in March. And we don't know when the fruits of that consecration are going to pay off, but we continue to unite ourselves in the Holy Father's consecration and prayers.
Yes, indeed, we do.
Meanwhile, there's some good news going on in Italy when it comes to the pandemic and the masks finally going away. This has been a long time coming, Ashley. How's it being received?
You're telling me, John, it has been a long time coming. So indeed, our health undersecretary, Costa, has announced that the mandate to wear masks in cinemas and theaters and at indoor sporting events is for sure going away. So basically tomorrow is the day. It's being called Liberation Day because we are getting a little bit more freedom. But let me tell you, it's not a sure deal for everything, because actually the parliament is voting today on whether the obligation to wear face masks on public transportation, in hospitals, in nursing homes should continue. And if it does, they will continue it until September. So we shall see what happens with that. The Italian bishops have still made it obligatory to wear masks in churches. So we're going to see, too, if in these next days with this change, the Italian bishops also have something to say on the matter and drop the mandate as well. So very interesting for sure. Yes, we shall see, John, but we're quite pleased with this.
My goodness, Liberation Day. It sounds like the end of the war.
Yes, practically, right? You know, people, I think, are really ready for a whole lot of reasons, and especially as the summer heat comes on. I think as more, and more information has come out showing that the need is not there. So with that said, I think everybody's hoping for the best.
Meanwhile, here in the U.S., many, many people are waiting to see what happens with the Supreme Court, whether or not Roe v. Wade is overthrown. And so we know that the issue of life is in play here. What is going on in Italy? I understand that abortions are decreasing there in Italy.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, I'm so excited to be able to tell you that actually abortions have gone down about 9.3% in the last couple of years. And so that comes down to about 66,000 abortions a year. Interestingly, this decrease was seen in all geographical areas and all age groups, a little higher amongst younger women and foreign women. But the exact number of abortions, for example, in 2020 was 66,413, and that's 5.4 for every 1,000 women between the ages of 15 and 49. And so, that is down from the year before. So this makes the abortion rate of Italy one of the lowest in the international level. So it's pretty exciting news, John.
Ashley, do you have any sense as to why it's gone down?
Well, you know, I wish I could say that it was for purely moral reasons. Unfortunately, contraception use has gone up as well. So we over here in Italy really need lots of prayers in order to bring back the faith, to revive a sense of the faith. And so we certainly are doing our best to evangelize in a lot of ways and to share the truths with the people who we might say that in a way, so culturally used to the truths of the faith that it's become something that they don't pay much attention to anymore. So certainly one of our personal goals has been to evangelize through every method that we can get our hands on to share the truth.
Well, we know that the battle between the culture of life and the culture of death, as St. John Paul II used to describe it, it's not just in the U.S. This is a worldwide event, and obviously it's affecting Italy as well. So continue to promote life for our friends in Italy. Meanwhile, we've talked about it so many times about how Italy has a way of having big celebrations for their feast. How was the feast of St. Anthony celebrated these last few days on his feast day, June 13th?
Right. Well, John, you know, it's funny because so often we call him St. Anthony of Padova, which is, of course, a town in northern Italy. But he was born in Lisbon, Portugal. But of course, the Italians have just adopted him. So they definitely see him as one of their homeboys. And the one of the traditions that goes on in preparation for his feast day is that since from the 1st of June, people participate in the Tredicina. And this is referring to the 13 days of preparation from the beginning of June until his feast on the 13th. So during that time, the Tredicina is the name of a special prayer that's recited in honor of St. Anthony. It's actually divided then into 13 prayers. So part of it is celebrated over each of these 13 days. And the popular devotion is that the saint grants those who are especially devoted to him 13 good graces every day. And then there's the tradition of the pane di Sant'Antonio. It's also sometimes called the bread of the poor. And what happens on his feast day is that loaves of bread are blessed and distributed to the faithful. And the idea is that they're meant to be enjoyed, consumed with the family. Now, the tradition goes back to a miraculous event that is linked to St. Anthony. And the story goes that the mother of a 20-month-old baby, his name was Tomasino, walks in to find her child lifeless. He had drowned in a tub full of water. And desperate, the woman invokes the help of St. Anthony. And in her prayer, she made a vow that if she would obtain the grace to have this little boy back to life, she would give the poor as much bread as the weight of her child. And indeed, little Tomasino, thanks to the intercession of St. Anthony, miraculously came back to life. And so that is the origin of the tradition of the blessing and the distribution of bread on the Feast of St. Anthony on June 13th. And these days, parents still ask St. Anthony, in exchange for protection for their children, they promise St. Anthony to give as much bread to the poor as the weight of their children. So it's sometimes called the work of the bread of the poor, or the Caritas Antoniana, the idea of taking care of bringing food to the poor, bringing this basic necessity of bread to the poor all over the world. And that's all in the name of the great Saint Anthony.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.